Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triple Jump podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is Ben.
My name is Peter.
And my name is Ashton.
Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
How are we doing?
Good.
I'm very well. How are you?
Yeah, all right. It's been a pretty full-on week, hasn't it? Lots of
busy
running around, literally, shooting lots of exciting stuff that we'll get to in a moment. But hopefully, today, it being Thursday, the recording day, will be a nice chill day. Mm. It's famously our least busy day of the week.
Well, like you were saying,
two podcasts and the live stream and everything else.
Mm. As you said on your stream yesterday, Ashton, Wednesday has also now become a busy day for some reason. I mean, it's because like it's the only day that Ben and I are both in and neither of us are streaming.
Yes.
I think it's the only day,
so
apart from
full
the
run.
Well, yeah.
Apart from when Ashton then streams in the afternoon.
So no one cares if I'm streaming.
No.
Nah.
I have to just power through.
You do. And you know what?
But the point
you
being,
do a great job.
But we have to go home early is the point to, when we're streaming.
Oh, so we don't have to.
Fewer hours in the day.
Yeah, you don't have to, do you?
Yeah, but we'd rather. So.
Yeah.
And we're the bosses. Yeah. So that's just how it is, isn't it?
We've been doing this for too many years to stay for a whole day on stream day.
But the point is, we've been working on some exciting stuff.
We have.
And we're really excited to share it with you. So without much further
adieu.
That's it. Yeah, adieu.
Adieu? Yeah. Okay. Ashton Matthews, would you like to talk about this week's sponsor for the podcast? Are there any Dead Island 2 the Spider very quickly, just before we get started? I don't see any in the room today.
They've all left the toilet now as well. They're all gone.
They've all gone out into the world.
They've all gone into the office.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Mm. Would you like to about the sponsor?
Yes, please.
I'll tell you about it. This week, we are sponsored by SMTJ Live. It is a live stream that we are doing on the 2nd of September at 11 a.m. BST.
On YouTube.
2 hours of happy fun times and lots of exciting things that we have pre-recorded, and also lots of live stuff. Mm. There'll be a gungeon. There'll be art. There'll be rules boss. There'll be main menu. There'll be other things that we just don't want to tell you about yet because it's too exciting. Mm-hmm. So make sure you're there. And if you want to get involved, why not go to www.mup/SMTJ to find out how you can get involved in the show.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's really exciting. We've been building to this for a while. We've been wanting to do something like this for a while. It's basically all of that personality-driven stuff that you love from the channel that we've either had to phase out or slowly move over to Patreon. But like all in one go in a spectacular 2 hour live stream. As Ashton said, someone's going to get gunged. There's a mixture of pre-recorded and live stuff. And that's the stuff we've been doing this week is the pre-recorded stuff. So we hope to see as many of you there as possible. And Patreon involvement is so important to
this. It really is, to justify us doing it, frankly. And also, as you sort of alluded to, Ashton, there will be maybe a special announcement or two as well at some point.
Perhaps, possibly.
So it is worth tuning in for that alone, also for the rest of it.
And I know that it's like 3 a.m. in America.
Yeah.
But hey,
come on.
What a better way to start your day at 3 a.m. than with us. 2 hours of us running around.
We wanted it to be a Saturday morning show because that's something that we kind of allude to and have done over the years, but we managed to keep it within Saturday morning in British time because it's 11 a.m. Mm-hmm. It's only barely in the morning,
yes,
so we moved it as late as we could to make it more bearable.
So
for
Australians,
Americans,
you have no excuses.
No, you have
this
to be
one.
There.
This one is for you.
Yeah,
you have to be there, all of you. All
Can
of you Australians.
Can I tell you a secret?
Mm.
Yeah.
I didn't know what SMTV was.
Right. No, you didn't.
That doesn't surprise
and
me.
And you guys kept talking about it and you were like, oh, I'll change the logo. And then you were like, this look good? And I was like, yeah, it looks great. It looks, yeah, so good.
What,
and then
I did it looks 90s as
yeah.
I was...
Whoa!
Hater!
Wee-oo,
wee-oo. Oh, my God.
He's gone right in. He's gone right around.
Wow.
Let me make a note of that. Swear
word.
Yeah.
4 minutes in, gee whiz.
Jesus.
Yeah, I didn't know what it was.
So confused. Now, we're allowed to swear on certain things.
I know.
Now. It confuses me.
And so I've just been like smiling and nodding along. Mm-hmm. I obviously know that like Saturday morning triple jump and Saturday morning television, but I didn't know what it was really.
Yeah.
So I've just been nodding along and agreeing with things this whole time.
Well, now you know.
Yeah.
Someone pointed out in my live stream on Tuesday that you would have been 3 when it was on.
Yeah.
Right.
Whereas Peter and I grew up with, if you're not familiar, if you're from a different country or you're young, or maybe really old.
Very old, yeah.
SMTV Live was Saturday morning television, I assume, live. It was on ITV or CITV. Mm. It was hosted by Anton Deck and Kat Deely. And they had, it was like it was a mixture of cartoons and television shows and also some like live kid audience
in a big live studio
stupid
yeah.
stuff. Like they had Wonky Donkey, which was I can barely remember. Did it involve a seesaw or something?
No, I
am
think
I misremembering?
it was they would have like a sort of a Beanie Baby each week that was sort of customized. They'd sort of edited it,
right?
And you had to phone in and guess what it was supposed to be called, and it had to rhyme. So
right.
They had a donkey with like 3 legs, and that was Wonky Donkey.
It's Wonky Donkey.
And then
yeah.
each week they would have a different one, and it would be like, hey, and it would be like a. Like a.
Flippy Dippy.
Yeah, but it would be guessable.
Okay, all right, it's got to be.
Yeah.
Hoppy Boppy.
A funny bunny, maybe. So
okay.
They'd have like a little rabbit, and it would be like holding a microphone doing stand up or something.
Gotcha.
And you had to go, is it Honey Bunny? No, it's not Honey Bunny. Is it a Hilarious Bunny? It has to rhyme, man. It has to rhyme.
Yeah.
That's what Deck would do.
See, I barely remember the actual show itself because I was just there for Pokemon and Digimon,
right.
Which was where those were shown in the UK on terrestrial TV. And I do remember Anton Deck wearing like horrible knitted jumpers with like a Pikachu face on it. And they'd rub their tummies and go, Pikachu,
Pikachu,
Pikachu, like that. Anyway, we're not doing any of that. That's
no.
why we're naming the show similarly, because, you know, Saturday morning triple jump live, it lends itself to it. It's going to be a smorgasbord of really weird, strange things that we pre-recorded and that's live. And there are ways that you can get involved in the show before it actually happens, like voting for who gets gunged, etc. But it's all done through the Patreon. So if you go to that website, Ashton Matthews,
triplejud.mup/smtj,
then you can go check out the tiered rewards. Please do check them out, because if it does well, we might do another one of these. And we hope you'll really enjoy it. It's a love letter to you, our wonderful community. So we hope you're there on Saturday the 2nd at 11 a.m.
Yeah.
And we are not going to stop talking about it until it happens.
No.
So be prepared to have this date and time drilled into your skulls in every video.
Hey, what if we sort of almost accidentally have enough of an uptick in patrons that we hit the 2,000 milestone or 1,000 milestone, whatever it was, and then we have to put on Billy
we
Fest
have to put on
immediately
Billy Fest.
Afterwards.
Yeah. Oh,
that would be amazing. I would love that.
Dream.
Yeah.
So yes, triplejud.mp/smtj. Mm. That's Sierra, Mike,
Tango
Juliet.
Wow.
Very cool.
I was going to say Django.
Django.
Tango Django.
I was, yeah.
That's from Wonky Donkey, isn't it?
So there we are. That's our sponsor. It's actually real. A bit of housekeeping before we get to the podcast. Triplejud.mp is where you can find all of our stuff. That's the YouTube, the Twitch, the Discord. You want a cameo from us? Our shop is triplejumpshop.com. New merch coming soon. And once again, the Patreon, patreon.com/teamtriplejump. I don't think we actually name dropped or the link for that, but patreon.com/teamtriplejump. There's a few things coming out on the channel this week, or there's some things coming up. Isn't that right, guys?
Yes.
We've got Gamescom opening night live. That's on the 22nd of August. I believe it's 7 p.m. BST.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
Tuesday.
So we will, of course, be watching along at the, the fantastic high quality announcements and releases. You know, really lovable and endearing men on stage. Maybe no. one woman.
To be Anne Woman.
Is there confirmed there's a woman?
I'm pretty sure that Jeff put a post up being like, here's the people we talk to, and I almost retweeted it being like, a woman! But I didn't, because I didn't want people to get angry at me.
So you can catch us watching
that.
We'll
get angry at you if you like.
No, it's okay.
We'll just be furious.
I actually don't want that, thanks.
We'll be live reacting on the channel, probably on YouTube, right?
Yes.
That's normally where we'll do it. YouTube. So check that out.
It's a Worst Games Ever week.
Yeah.
Oh, it is, yes.
It's out for patrons right now. See, this is why you need to sign up to our Patreon, because you could have watched it already before this came out on Friday. Out for everybody else tomorrow on Sunday. And it's Irony Man. Iron Man. It's the actual Marvel Iron Man starring maybe Robert Downey Jr. Who knows? You'll just have to watch and find out. Also, we sort of surprise dropped Lord of the Rings ranked last week because it was suddenly ready and we weren't expecting it to be ready, so we didn't talk about it on the podcast. So every single Lord of the Rings video game ranked from worst to best is available on the channel. It's just the Lord of the Rings though, so we're not including the Hobbit and various other titles.
There's like Gollum in there.
Gollum is not, because it's not set during the events of the Lord of the Rings. It's set between the Hobbit and the Lord of the Rings, unfortunately. Wow. But it's a great list. It's an hour long, loads of Lord of the Rings stuff, and we know there's loads of ringers in the audience. That's what it's called. Apparently, that's
ringers.
I'd not heard of that. Lord of the Rings fans are called ringers.
Dead ringers.
So go and check out that if you're a ringer, which I'm sure you are.
In hindsight, I think we should have also just included The Hobbit and Gollum and stuff. But
yeah, well, it was the ship had sailed. Yeah. It was too late now. Never mind. Anyway, maybe we can do a follow-up where we do everything.
Yeah.
There'll be a few more for sure.
Should we do some questions then?
I think we should.
That were sent in by you. We've got a question here from Hannah O'Neill, who says, "Hi, Bap. With Xbox announcing a strike-based system to crack down on gamers' behaviours and seeming to make it a less toxic environment and to keep track of community guidelines that are not being adhered to, do you think that it's something that should be universally rolled out and a cross-company agreement from all parties, including Sony and Nintendo, or do you think that each company will come up with similar rules? Love ya, Hannah."
Love you, Hannah.
Thanks, Hannah.
I've got a bit of a write-up here from Kotaku, written by Alyssa Mercante, who says,
"Blimey,
yeah, I know."
Say it in English now.
Alyssa Mercant.
There we go.
Who says, "Enforcement," this is from middle of the article, "enforcements will now include strikes based on the severity of players' actions." That's a quote from Xbox. "And Microsoft likens it to getting strikes on your driver's license, which in countries like the US can eventually result in the suspension of your license. This is a quote again. For example, a player that has received 2 strikes will be suspended from the platform for 1 day, whereas a player that receives 4 strikes will be suspended for 7 days, the post detailed. Players have a limit of 8 strikes. Once they reach that number, they'll be kicked off Xbox's social features, including messaging, party chat, and multiplayer, for 1 year from the enforcement date. Strikes remain on players' records for 6 months. And I can't help but wonder if Microsoft will eventually introduce its own version of a defensive driving course to help players knock a few strikes off their accounts."
Hey, why not be a dick?
Yeah. Not be a dick.
Yeah.
So there we go. That's what's happening. I mean, I think this is a good thing, essentially, because video game communities can be toxic as hell.
Yes.
And, you know, they awful can. Places. So that's it's definitely a good idea. If this had happened, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago, maybe a bit longer, 10 years ago, certainly, I would have said, how's that going to be enforced, though? Like, you can report someone and say, like, oh, they did this and they said that, but, you know, they could just as easily say, well, I didn't know, you know, and it's just like a dispute, his word against his or hers. However, nowadays, we have the beauty of being able to very easily capture footage of things that are happening. So it's probably going to be a lot easier to back up your claims that someone was being a dick than it was, you know, less than a decade ago, certainly in the earlier days of Xbox Live, for example. So that's a good thing. It's like enforceable, it's clearly outlined, and I quite like that it's very kind of graded. You know, you get a strike, you're banned for like a day or whatever, or you get a few strikes and you're banned for a week. I think that's better than if you get 3 strikes, you're off the thing entirely. Yeah.
You don't get to keep any of the stuff that you've spent years purchasing.
Which, I mean, obviously, don't be a dick and then that won't happen to you. But equally, I think you're more likely to get a change in people's behavior if they get a taste for what it was like to not be able to play games for 3 days or 5 days or whatever. And then they might think, oh man, if I was banned for like 3 months, that would be really rough. Maybe I should stop being a horrible person.
A dick.
So I think that's a really good way to do it, actually, is to like really break it up into 8 levels, seemingly. I think that's, it should hopefully work out well. Do I think that other people, other companies will do the same?
They shouldn't. No. It's Microsoft's
Stop
idea.
It. Obviously, I don't think that it will be universally rolled out as a cross-company agreement, because I think very few cross-company agreements happen at all, really. Some relationships seem better than others. Microsoft and Nintendo maybe are more pally-pally than anyone else is with anyone else. But there's no reason that Sony and Nintendo can't do their own thing. I don't think even necessarily they will do their own thing in response to this. But I'm sure just in due course, all of these companies are probably reviewing their policies at various intervals throughout the year, and maybe they'll decide to change their own system at some point. But I don't think this is necessarily likely to affect Sony and Nintendo or inspire them to change their own. But it would be good if it did.
Yeah, 100%. There's no bad side to having this level of kind of involvement in the toxic culture from the big companies. It's a good thing, and it's glad to hear that they're doing stuff. From the like diagrams on their blog post that Xbox put out, it's quite an interesting like blog post, and some of the diagrams that they've put out are quite funny. But it's like, if you've got a bad gamer tag, that's one day. And if it's like increasingly worse, it's extra days. If it's like sexual harassment, it's an extra 2 strikes. If it's hate speech, it's an extra 4 strikes. So it's good. I'm glad that they're doing this. And I think it's going to be really good as like a start to try and harbour the toxic gamers that are out there. But I do think that it's going to be a bit more difficult to catch people who say things over voice chat more than it is potentially things over like just direct messaging and stuff. All of the examples that they gave on like their end were things like gamer tag or gamer's picture or messages that have been sent to someone, rather than any kind of like tangible of like, well, if you report them for being aggressive over voice chat. I mean, I'm sure they might be able to. Like I said, there's more video recording that we can do. You can save like every 30 minutes. So it's not like you can not get it. But I do think that hopefully there'll be more of a reach out onto voice chat as well, because that does tend to be where people are their most vocal about their opinions, and most of those opinions are wrong. I would like to see it roll out to other companies. I think that it is a good thing, and I think it would be great to, like you say, give people a very much obvious punishment of their bad behavior. Mm-hmm. From the looks of things, once they are banned for a day, they are given like a pop-up, and the pop-up links them to the terms of service and like
read this.
Basically
do it.
From what they've said on their blog post, they're like, once people are banned once, they tend not to re-offend because they learn,
they've
and also
rehabilitated.
They've been rehabilitated by reading our TOS. All of it covered
Please
to cover.
Record yourself.
If you don't
the
read the
service.
TOS, you're not allowed
you're
back
the unbanned
in.
Unbanned.
Yeah,
you, send
you have
us
to
a video.
Do a quiz at the end to know if you've read the whole thing.
How many clauses are in the terms of service?
Yes, but yeah, I think it's a good thing, and if it helps, I would encourage other places to use it as well. Like I say, I think it's easier on console than it is on PC, so there will still be. I think it would be difficult on PC to do this, because that's kind of down to the individual game at that point. It's not like a thing like Xbox. But PC games still do it, and they do it with cheating. So why can't they do it with this as well? But hopefully, and also, you can't kind of false report and then not get, like, nothing bad happens. But actually, I think you can, if your reports are inaccurate, there's no cap on how many you can submit if they deem it as, like, not report worthy, but you can appeal your reports and have the points taken away off of your gaming license if you want to.
I would be curious about, because obviously they want evidence now for people committing these offenses. So will there be a punishment for someone who's just griefing, just spamming stuff all the time, like spamming reports on people? Because it may well just be that it's set up so that it's harder for these people to grief, so they won't bother, which is great. My concern is that now that they've... Because every platform has a policy for this stuff. It's not like Xbox is announcing the first one of its kind. Mm. It's just that they are perhaps making the process a bit more transparent so everybody knows where they stand, which is a good thing. So I don't necessarily think that that other platform holders are going to adopt a similar model, because I think their existing models probably work just fine. But I know that there is a great deal of frustration, especially by those who get banned for seemingly no good reason, or if there is a reason, they can't talk to a person to appeal or work through the process. So that should probably be updated, if indeed this process works properly. But anyway, my concern is that because they're now doing this, are they going to hire hundreds of people to look through all these reports, or is it going to be handled by bots and AI? Because as we working on YouTube have experienced time and time again, bots are terrible and they do not understand nuance at all. They do not get it. We've had so many videos that suddenly just get marked as unsuitable for all advertisers, which is basically a death sentence for a video. So we have to take it down and re-upload it and hope it gets through this time. Mm-hmm. And then if you appeal it, it apparently gets reviewed by a person who will just immediately confirm that the bot is correct, regardless of the context. You can't give any context. It's super frustrating. So it could well be that they end up making a flip ton more headaches for themselves by allowing, you know, by streamlining this process even, because who's going to be checking all this stuff?
Yeah.
Who's going to be sitting there listening to all these recordings or watching all these videos? I don't think it's going to be a person unless it gets appealed. But then you're still going to have a person who's got to sit there and work through all of these appeals. So, because of course people are going to appeal. No one is going to be a dick on the internet, get caught, and then just be fine with being caught. Mm-hmm. Everyone's going to appeal. So who's going to pick up the bag? Mm-hmm. Who's going to be sorting that out? It doesn't mean they shouldn't do it, to be clear. I think it's really good to have this transparency so everybody knows where they stand on these issues. But I don't know in practice how well it's going to work, if they're going to automate parts of it anyway.
For a long time, I couldn't have my name in my PlayStation user account. I was going to use the same handle I use everywhere, which is that Peter Austin. And I don't know if somewhere in there's a combination of letters that maybe in a different language means something offensive or something, but it just wouldn't allow it for... It might have even said for profanity. And then eventually I could have it. I don't know what it was, what changed, but it just shows that, like, yeah, there's no room for nuance. I follow Star Wars Explained on various platforms, and they made a Threads account, and their Instagram was banned temporarily because Star Wars Explained has sex in it.
Oh, for God's sake.
Eventually it was brought back, but this is the kind of thing you're dealing with, you know. Something can get picked up and a robot will go, yes, you're right, human who reported this, that is terrible, and actually it's not.
The famous one from back in the day was on Xbox Live, where someone from Scunthorpe got banned because they listed their home address as Scunthorpe and that has a naughty word in it, and Xbox Live was like, you can't say that. And I think people from Fort Gay as well in America were also being banned, and robots are stupid, you know, you can't trust the robots to do this stuff. So hopefully it all works out, but this is good news.
It is good news.
It's time, everybody, to do something that we have never done before on this show.
It's brand new, a segment that we're just starting out. Hopefully you guys like it. Okay. It's called What We Playin'.
It's What We Playin' time. Time to talk about the games, what we have been playing. Peter Austin, what have you been playing?
Played a couple of things this week. I have rolled credits on Crash Bandicoot 4. And I've had a really nice time with that, as I've said, past couple of weeks. But I only picked it up as kind of a filler thing. I wanted to play something that I just know. And I suppose I had a bit of an itch just to play a bit of Crash Bandicoot. But I didn't expect to play the full thing, and I did, and I really had a great time with it. So that was a nice little thing to do. Also, I'm waiting on payday to buy a new game that I want to play. Like I've kind of thought after I finished Crash, actually, I was like, oh, so I'll play a game now that I've been, you know, I've got a list of games that I want to play. And I went on my library and I realized, oh, actually, I've been good and I've not bought a game and not played it. So all the games that I have wanted to play, I've bought and then played. Mm. And all the ones that are very much on my list, I haven't yet purchased, which surprised me. I thought there'd be a whole bunch of stuff on there that I've, you know, you buy stuff and then you don't have time to play it. Mm. So I am waiting for payday.
Mr. No Backlog over here.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Mr. No Paid For Backlog.
You think you're better than us,
Mr.
huh?
Mr. Massive Backlog, but yeah, just not spent any money on it. But I have also been playing Death Bulge Battle of the Bands, which I won't talk too much about because I've got kind of a, well, I wouldn't say a vested interest, but it was developed by a group of my friends. But it was also like one of the best new releases on Steam that week and stuff.
Oh, amazing.
So
cool.
It's not like, you know, I'm talking up some tiny little indie game that like is of no significance. But yeah, it did really well. I bought it and streamed it for one session. I'm probably not going to carry on streaming it, but I've carried on playing it in my own time. I'm having a really good time. It's not my kind of thing at all. You know, it's not the kind of thing I would pick up necessarily. But because it's like an RPG turn-based combat. It's almost like,
right.
It's a bit Final Fantasy VII-ish as that's the kind of game that comes to mind.
And it's about bands, is it?
Yeah.
Is it a bit like Brutal Legend?
It's more like, I guess it's a bit, yeah, it's like Brutal Legend in that sense of like, you're using music as your attacks and stuff. But yeah, it's more of an RPG style where you know, it's kind of top down and you're walking around and then it's turn-based battles. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's based on a kind of a silly, surreal world that comes from a webcomic. So originally the webcomic was about this band specifically, and then more and more characters kind of spun off from it. And now it's not so much about the band or the music. It's just these sort of one-off silly things that are happening in this strange place. So yeah, I've had a really, really good time. If you want to find out more about that, we streamed it. I'm not going to do a review corner on it because I think that really would be taking it too far with play my friend's game. But yeah, they've done well with that, and I've been enjoying playing it. And I've been surprised. Like I knew I was going to give it a go. I was like, I'll play your game. But I didn't necessarily think I would thoroughly enjoy it the way that I have done because of the genre. It's not really for me at all. And maybe I should play more like turn-based combat. Yeah. Play more RPGs and stuff. So yeah, that's mostly what I've been playing, really.
Nice. Check out on the VODs channel.
Mm. Yes, on the VODs channel. Ashton, what have you been playing?
I've been playing two things that I played last week. I played Pikmin 4 again. I'm literally so close to like 100% finishing that game. But right at the end of the game, there's this like cave that you have to go in. It's got like 20 levels. And the other caves you've been in throughout the game have had like max 8 levels at any point. And this basically is like every single boss you fought in the game so far. And there's one level where there's this big worm that will just crush and kill all your Pikmin.
That's awful.
Not the big worm.
Someone needs to stop it.
Yeah. And normally when you fought the big worm, there's been like a little gap either side where you can avoid the big worm. But this time, because it's the final bit, the big worm is just in the room. And there's like two like wind things you can jump over. And my Pikmin, they're not fast enough to come with me and get over the thing. So the amount of Pikmin that have died is, it's not good. But luckily, you can rewind time and like start the level again. But I got to that point and I tried it about 4 or 5 times. Then I got annoyed. I turned it off on Sunday and I've not played it since. So hopefully I'll do that this weekend and I'll get past that big worm that's torturing me and finish the game completely. But I have been enjoying it. The kind of post-game stuff is like way longer than I thought it was going to be. I thought there was like one area and that was it. And then suddenly there's now a second area that I'm also doing as well. But I've done pretty much everything apart from this last cave. So hopefully I should be able to finish that this week.
Amazing.
And then I also played some more Spiritfarer, which I'm thoroughly enjoying. It made me cry this week. There's a little hedgehog old woman that...
Yeah.
That was just a combination of things. Hedgehog, well, old woman.
All of the spirits, I think, were people, but now they're in this realm and they start off as like little cloaked beings and then they turn into an animal.
Right.
So like a deer or a frog or a hedgehog. Woman. And she's a hedgehog old woman. She's got a little hat on. She's very cute.
Like Mrs. Tiggy Winkle.
Yeah, basically. And she started to like get confused and be like, oh, will you take me to the bow of the ship? And you have to like help her along to the like front of the ship. And then at nighttime, you have to like bring her back to her house. And then she started like not recognizing me and getting confused. So I had to put a hat on to pretend to be her daughter to like get her back.
Oh, no.
And then when like they're ready to go, you take them to a thing called the Everdor and then they pass on to like their spirit. You know, I don't know what happens to them. And then she was like talking to me and I was just there and I was like, oh my God, I don't want her to go. I was like, I hope she's all right. And she kept being oh wait, you're not Alice, are you? And I was like...
You're flipping lying.
I was like, I'm not Alice, I'm so sorry. But she's, that made me well up and I thought, I'm going to have to turn the game off for a bit. Can't handle this.
You fed too many spirits.
Yeah. So that's what I've played this week. And I'm really enjoying Spiritfarer. I think it's a great little game.
Sounds lovely and traumatic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm troubling. So sad.
I have played a couple of things this week as well.
Mm-hmm.
I've played a flipping load of Diablo 4. It's been a Diablo 4. It was a Diablo 4 weekend where I just sat there glassy-eyed. Just listening to television while running around hitting things just for hours. It was beautiful. It was fantastic. So I played loads of that. I'm now level 54, maybe. I've explored all of the map now. It's because there's like a fog of war on it. So I've like cleared all that. And I've just been picking up every single side quest I've seen as I've been making my way around. And it is, there's a lot. There's a lot of side quests because I can't pick up any more. I've maxed out the amount of side quests I have, so I have to finish what I've got, and then I can come back for seconds and try and find those other ones. But I've got my horse now, which is very exciting because I can go really fast on it, which helps me get around nice and quick. And eventually, I will finish the story, but not yet because
I think that's so interesting because you, whenever you talk about playing a game like this,
I know.
You never do side quests. You always say, "Didn't do a single side quest, just speed run it." Just
mainline the thing. I think it's because it's so comfortable. Like, because I know how the game works now. As I've said every single week that I've been playing this game, I do not have to apply any thought. Whereas if it's a game that has a narrative that, because I'm honestly, I don't care about the narrative in this at all. There's a main story and there will be credits at the end and a final boss, but I don't really care. Whereas if it's like a Horizon that has a story that I'm actually interested in, I don't really want to delay.
Yeah.
I want to see that through. And I also complain about game worlds being too big. This game world is flipping massive, but there's a part of me, because I am now so ingrained in the experience and it's like second nature to me and I have to put in zero thought when I'm playing it, it's like, cool, I can just sit here and zone out and relax, and that kind of does it for me. I'm enjoying it. But the rate that we have to play, you know, very privileged to do what we do, but the rate that we have to start new games and try new things, I don't really feel like I can hang around in a lot of big... So when it's like, here's the new Assassin's Creed, it's 100 hours long. I'm like, oh my God, really?
Yeah.
I'm not going to have time. I'm not going to have time to finish this game. Whereas fortunately, we're in a period where there's not a lot coming out.
Yeah.
Until Starfield. So I'm sort of able to relish not doing much but Diablo. So that's fun.
Are you going
to
give Armored Core a go when it comes out next week?
Nope. I don't care. Like, people can get excited about Armored Core because it's flipping From Software.
But what about the Rubicon?
Look, listen. Right, I'm going to get on the soapbox now. There's never been a good Armored Core game, okay? Get your head out of your robot asses. Because just because it's current day From Software making it doesn't mean it's suddenly going to be an incredible game. It's still going to be about giant robots and you're going to have to like change all the parts up and it's going to be slow and clunky. I don't actually know if it's going to be like that at all. The point is,
you're not excited for it.
I'm not excited for it at all.
I thought the same thing yesterday.
Just because it's got From Software as a developer. They developed the old ones as well. And I know they're a different studio now than they used to be, but you're not going to get Soulsborne Gundam. Gundam.
Gundam.
You're not going to get that. It's going to be a slow, boring ass. If you like robot games and mech games, then sure, I bet you'll have a great time. But the mainstream appeal for this one, I think people need to set their expectations, all right? You need to set them, because I'm not interested at all.
Anyone talk about it, but whenever I put a community post up being like, what are you excited for in August? They're like, obviously Armored Core.
You guys are crazy. Like, you're crazy. You don't know what you're talking about.
Someone in the office yesterday just said something about, oh, Armored Core. Oh, isn't that, yeah, it's by FromSoft, isn't it? And I thought like, oh yeah, it is. And I thought like, that's irrelevant, though. It's completely irrelevant.
It doesn't mean anything.
Like, Naughty Dog brings you Knack.
Yeah, okay,
it's not
cool.
Gonna be as bad
still going to be
Knack.
Listen, I don't begrudge anyone in their giant robot games, but these games were niche for a long time for a reason. And I think that it's getting a lot of extra attention because From Software is such a phenomenal developer. And I love From Software. Everyone knows I love From Software. But I don't care about mech games. And I don't think this is going to wow people as much as I think some people are expecting it to.
It'll be good if you're into that.
Exactly.
Say, if you're into mech games,
enjoy your mech game.
It'll probably be a really good
game. I hope you have
a
bloody lovely time. But no, I'm not interested. And if you're interested because it's From Software, maybe just set those expectations. Dial them in. Dial them in a bit. So no, I'm not looking forward to it.
Okay, thanks.
So I'm going to play more Diablo next week. Cool. Probably. I played a little bit of WWE 2K23 because I had a couple of people over and we did a ridiculous match where it was Kermit the Frog, Elmo, SpongeBob SquarePants, and I think Eddie Guerrero, real wrestler Eddie Guerrero, facing each other in various ridiculous forms of combat. And
did you
that
make
was
them or download them?
Just downloaded them. Mm-hmm. But that was really fun. It's such a stupid game. And the people I was playing with had never really played wrestling games before. So they were just mashing buttons and having a great time. Mm. So I think that says a lot for WWE 2K23. The main thing I want to talk about, though, is I watched all of the Twisted Metal television show.
Oh, did you?
I watched it all.
I keep forgetting that's out.
Yeah. Do you want to know something?
Yeah.
Is it good?
I really enjoyed it.
Oh, really?
Wow. Okay.
I really enjoyed it.
Gosh.
It is, as you might have been able to tell from the horrible teaser we got at whatever it was, Summer's Games Fest.
Yeah.
It's very self-aware and it's intentionally over the top and hokey. And it's a bit naff. I don't care about Twisted Metal, but I enjoyed the TV show. It's got some surprisingly famous people in it. Obviously, Anthony Mackie's in it. Samoa Joe's in it as well. I think Sweet Tooth is great. I think, honestly, because it's set in post-apocalyptic America, it kind of gave me the impression that that's sort of what I would want from a Borderlands TV show.
Yeah.
Because the humor is crude. The violence is like massively over the top. It's so gory and absurd. And I was very surprised by how much I actually kind of enjoyed as it went on. Like the first few episodes, I was like, this is rubbish, but like, I'm having a nice time watching.
Is there much driving in it? Because ironically, all the promotional material I've seen, I don't think I've seen anyone in a car at any point.
There is a lot of driving in it, but there's not a huge amount of vehicular combat until like maybe the last episode. Mm.
All right.
It's all about the world and the characters, which is maybe why I enjoy it so much. Because if it was just about, okay, time to have a death race in a car park every single episode, I wouldn't be too interested. But it builds up its world quite nicely. And it deals with the absurd world it's established just like without batting an eyelid, that you sort of buy into it. Like, oh yeah, sure. Okay. There are like death cults running around all over the place and, you know, stringing people upside down. And there is a cult of astronaut people who left a note on this man wrapped in tinfoil that says, please don't touch him. He's ascended to the moon. Like, yeah, sure. You know, that's just what happens in this world.
I was
very surprised by Twisted Metal, and if you're that way inclined, I would recommend you give it a go because it's
what I liked about
enjoyable.
Mad Max Fury Road. Actually, is all the Mad Max stuff really, but like the kind of the weird tribal aspect of post-apocalyptic, like people doing stuff like that, like, you know, ascending to the moon or whatever. Yeah, I think that's interesting that people, there's a bunch of crazy people in the post-apocalypse. So
it was good. I recommend it. I recommend it. Some people will probably hate it, but I imagine those people probably don't like Borderlands either for similar reasons, where it's just that kind of silly. Mm. But there we are. That's everything. I've talked for far, far too long. My apologies.
Mm. Well, should I do question two then?
Yeah.
It's from Rock Reese. Hey, Bap. Following the release of Baldur's Gate 3, and it's apparently being one of the most definitive RPG experiences in video games, the thing that's really caught my attention has been the industry's reaction to this, with some of the biggest devs coming out to implore gamers to temper expectations for the scope of games, scope of game ever existing again. Some seem like good points, but an uncomfortable amount of devs have been almost excusing the fact they can't or don't want to try to make a game like this, citing the infrastructure of the industry as their reasoning. My question to you all is, do you think the games industry should learn and step up from Baldur's Gate 3, or like many devs, do you write it off as an anomaly that will not happen again? Question mark.
Thank you, Rock Reese.
Thank you, Rock Reese.
Thank you.
It seems like slightly defeatist in a sense. Like the fact that it has been done, I don't see why. I can understand developers maybe saying, don't think that this is like the first of what is going to become completely normal mainstream gaming all the time. That's a perfectly reasonable thing to say. But like, it's been kind of weird seeing what some developers have been saying about this. Have you seen, like, I can't think of a specific example to, you know, dob like, someone in.
But... It's like when Elden Ring came out and people were like, well, actually, it's actually not that good.
Yeah.
Which I think is like the weird, that's the weird bit of it. Like the tempering expectations thing is one thing, but when they're like, well, actually, if you were educated like I am as being a game developer, you'll realize it is actually not that good.
Yeah, and some from like reasonably well-known studios as well. It's not just like some like upstart indie developer coming out and saying, actually, if you knew about development, you would know XYZ. Mm. Like, there have been some relatively high-profile people, or at least high-profile companies, members of their staff, saying that it's not feasible. Even kind of like actually being, not aggressive, but putting down Baldur's Gate 3 and the team, saying that it's almost irresponsible that they have done this, and kind of like
how dare they?
Yeah, exactly.
You can't set the bar that high.
It's ridiculous to say that. Like, as I say, it's totally fair enough to temper people's expectations and say, look, don't get too excited thinking that this is the future of gaming and that all games are going to be like this. But don't like have a go at someone for having made a very successful game with a huge scope and, you know, the ability to do all kinds of crazy things. And, you know, I think, although I've not played Baldur's Gate 3 yet, and I don't know if I will, I may or may not, I think it sounds really fun. The fact that you can solve problems and do ridiculous things to get around stuff, very much in a tabletop D&D fashion. Mm. I think that's what they've emulated really well. I saw a screenshot the other day where someone had stacked 47 crates on top of each other and were using it to like climb up a cliff or something, you know, and it's just stupid that you can do that. But that's not something that developers should be publicly kind of admonishing almost. I mean, those are the extreme examples. It's not something that's happened a lot, but it has happened in a few places. Yeah, it's fair to temper expectations, but don't be down on this game for having done a good job.
So like people are covering their own asses like ahead of time, and I don't necessarily think that these devs are to blame. I think that they're just aware of like the people that they work for and what they will see. Well, Baldur's Gate did that, let's do that too, that worked really well. You know, let's just you can just put that in our game, can't you? It's kind of, I think, also what they're trying to temper, and like this is a game that's done some really cool things, but we can't do that.
It's not gonna work. Saying it to the superior rather than to the consumer.
Exactly. But I do also think that maybe I feel like every year a game comes along where it's like, this is gonna real step things up. This is like the next step in gaming. And then every other game comes out and we enjoy it. And then next year another one will come out. This is the next step. I wish all games should be like this. But the thing is, not all games are gonna be like this. And as much as it would be great if other RPG developers learn and develop things like Baldur's Gate, we kind of don't want that. Everyone's got to do their own thing. And as much as people have enjoyed Baldur's Gate 3, and I'm very jealous of everyone who's played it so far, I've not given it a go yet. I do think that maybe it's not a bad thing that these devs have said, you know, that's really good, but we can't, or we don't really want to do that because that's not really our thing. And if you like a game like that, go play Baldur's Gate 3. You know, not every RPG can be like that, can or will be like that. So as much as it would be nice that there's a step up from everyone else in the games industry that meets to what happened with Baldur's Gate 3, I think it's a bit of an anomaly in terms of the success that it's had and how much people have enjoyed it and how much freedom it gives to players. So I think that as much as it would be great if they do step up, I think this is a kind of once in a while situation that we're experiencing again with Baldur's Gate 3. It happened with Tears of the Kingdom, it happened with Elden Ring. These things will keep happening and they will shape the industry in the future, but we're not going to see anything like Baldur's Gate 3 or, I mean, Elden Ring or Tears of the Kingdom for a good while, because obviously things like this will take ages to develop. Larian Studios did a fantastic job of Baldur's Gate 3 and it's gone down really well and it's really great. We'll see if the console version lives up to the PC version, which I think is maybe going to be a bit telling in terms of how other devs might react to that and how the gaming industry will react to that. Because if it works really well on PC but it doesn't run on console, that's then when we have the like, oh, we had to temper our expectations.
This is why we can't keep doing this.
Exactly.
In future games.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think it's great this happened, and hopefully people will learn from it and develop this like freedom level that Baldur's Gate 3 has given players. But also, I think that it is fair enough for the devs to say that we cannot do that. We cannot do that. But I also think it's bad to just slag off a game just because people are saying it's really good.
Because that's what people are, that's what the general gaming audience are clinging to. It's the most vocal people, the one who are essentially just slinging mud at it for no good reason. It would be very easy just to say, well, why don't you just make better games then in response to this? But realistically, these developers, publishers, they're in very different situations. They've got different budgets. They're making very different genres of games that, you know, because D&D does let you do pretty much anything.
Yeah.
And this is a D&D game. So it follows that that would be how Baldur's Gate 3 is. And they've done a phenomenal job of making that the case. But not every genre, not every developer, not every studio is going to be able to do that for a variety of factors outside of the, you know, the fact that Baldur's Gate 3 is just... It's lightning in a bottle almost. Mm-hmm. However, I don't think that you would want to draw attention to the fact that you can't make something like that beyond just, you know, why don't you not be loud and rude to this game that everyone loves? Why would you want to draw attention to the fact that you can't make this? Why wouldn't you just sit there and like applaud Larian Studios for everything that they've done and everything they've accomplished with Baldur's Gate 3 and just kind of let them have this moment that they have earned. It's just not necessary, because it is exactly like the Elden Ring thing where developers were saying, well, I mean, if we had a flipping map that vague in Assassin's Creed, we'd get hanged, drawn and quartered, you know? It's like, you didn't have to say that. It doesn't mean that you're not correct, but it does make you look bad.
Yeah.
And I don't know why you wouldn't
think that. It makes you
look
jealous.
Yeah,
exactly. It makes you look...
petty.
Petty, yeah.
It's unnecessary. And like, I do feel for them, because... they are different situations. Larian Studios developed and published this game themselves. They had an extensive period of early access. I don't know what their funding situation was like. But also, I don't want to take anything away from Baldur's Gate, because it deserves all the accolades it's getting and it deserves the attention it's getting. I just think the developers that have spoken out really didn't need to. And some of them, there's a variety of people who have spoken out for different reasons. And some, as you guys have said, it's just... listen, guys, we can't make a game like this. It's just not possible. Imagine if you just stacked loads of crates in the next Call of Duty and hopped over the fence and sprinted off north. Like, we can't do that.
We'd that's get just, told off if that
That's
happened.
Just not how it works. You just can't do that. And then there are some who are like the Elden Ring folks who are like, this is, how dare you make a game so good that we couldn't possibly... You didn't need to say anything.
Yeah. Are you not embarrassed?
Because the worst part of the core gaming audience are going to grab hold of that and just think... just say horrible things, and it just wasn't necessary. This game's amazing, and it should be praised for being amazing. That's it.
Mm. Yeah.
So
I wonder, maybe the next game with such levels of freedom will be this thing that Peter Molyneux is sort of starting to
Yeah.
Say things about. Have you heard that he's doing?
No, I haven't.
What's Peter Molyneux up to? He's always up to something.
He's got something in the works. I think that's all that's been said. And it's, okay. It sounds like the kind of thing he would do. He will release that game where you can drop an acorn and an oak tree will grow in the road over the next several years.
In current day game development, that would probably be the only thing that game would be capable of doing,
yeah,
because that's such an involved part of the engine that you couldn't bugger off and do other stuff. You just have to watch this tree grow,
yeah,
and that'd be it.
That's mm-hmm. Peter Molyneux's game,
yeah.
Tree grower.
Yeah,
curiosity, amazing. What's inside the tree?
I'm interested to see if Starfield will be compared fairly or unfairly to the RPG elements of Baldur's Gate 3. Yes. Obviously, we don't know what Starfield's going to come out like. I'm sure we're going to hear more about it this week because we always hear about Starfield all the time.
Review code, I believe, is going out today.
Oh, is it?
To certain outlets. Yes.
So hopefully we'll start to hear a bit more about it very soon. But I'm interested to see how... because they always be like, oh, you can do whatever you want in Starfield. They're like, oh, it's brilliant. And now I'm kind
of... been saying that since Morrowind.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see how...
the level of freedom in Todd's RPGs has always been impressive.
Mm. Yeah.
But they have got to be really cross.
Yeah.
Like, not maybe not externally, but this is what we're talking about. You can still be cross, but maybe you don't just say it for everyone to hear.
Yeah.
They've got to be pretty furious internally that Baldur's Gate 3 has come out and just blown people's minds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With its freedom.
Yeah.
Mad. Anyway, we'll keep an eye on that, and we'll be talking about Starfield very soon, I'm sure. Not long to go at all. It's time for something a little bit strange, Peter Austin.
It is, Ben Potter.
It is.
Ashton Matthews.
It's time for Weird News.
Donkey.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's weird news time. Time for some weird video game news. If you would like to submit weird video game news to us, you can do on the relevant social media post that goes up on Twitter and Facebook on a Tuesday. However, if you'd like to guarantee a shout out at this point in the podcast, you need to go to patreon.com/teamtriplejump and support us at a certain tier. Become a podcast producer just like...
Jua Goliath.
Nicole Hansen.
Duncan Wilson.
Katie Garrett or Jared.
Eric Siu.
Did we hear from Eric?
Yeah, he said we did it right.
Hey.
Siu.
Melody L. Bonnet.
Nexus Polaris.
Gabrielle Philippink.
And Blake Thomas. Thank you, podcast producers. Thank you, podcast producers.
He just like jump scared me with that.
Siu.
Siu. Sorry, Eric. It's a bit rude.
Because we'll see you later, right?
Yeah.
Yes. And by the way, these guys, these podcast producers, are probably at a tier already where they can access some of the rewards or some of the incentives.
They're at the tier where they can access all of them.
All of the rewards and incentives for SMTJ
Including
Live.
Including calling Rules Boss.
Leaving a voicemail for Rules Boss. There's voting who has to wear a walrus onesie for the entire live stream, the live portions of it anyway. They get to vote in the gunging. They get to submit a photo of their face or podcast or business or YouTube channel or whatever the hell they want. We'll go onto our shill wall that will be a mosaic of generous flesh that will sort of scroll behind us on the green screen.
Get your logo in front of some people.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The walrus clan. So they've got access to all of that. Patreon.com/TeamTripleJump or triplejud.mp/SMTJ to find out more about how you can get involved. Peter.
Yep.
You got weird news?
I've got some weird news that was sent to us by Lloyd Williams on Facebook. Facebook says that Lloyd is a top fan.
Yes, wow. Lloyd.
Thanks, Lloyd.
Yes, Lloyd.
This is according to Kotaku.com, and it's written by Ashley Barden, who says, I mean, this isn't even news, really, but I thought it was... It's a good write-up.
Okay.
Overwatch 2 Steam reviews are predictably brutal. Say porn is the best part. Okay. Subheading, Blizzard's first-person shooter is having a tragic Steam launch. Oh, dear. So, Blizzard added first-person shooter Overwatch 2 to Steam on August the 10th alongside its stacked invasion chapter. And the game is already getting review-bombed to the lowest circles of hell. The contentious but relatively still tremendously popular shooter was previously only available to download for PC on Blizzard's proprietary online shop, Battle.net, which does not allow users to leave public comments. The game's unwilted Steam page then, which went up nearly a decade after the original Overwatch came out in 2016, is getting dirtied by years worth of unsaid rancor. Overwatch 2.
It's not nearly a decade.
No, it's not.
No, it's not really, is it?
7 years.
7 years is not nearly a decade.
That's about two-thirds of a decade.
Yeah.
Indeed. Overwatch 2 has, as of writing, over 42,000 reviews, lending itself to an overwhelmingly negative rating. That's 11% of 42,107 user reviews being positive.
Yikes.
11%. The most popular review with over 25,000 helpful ratings is a declaration that the people who make Overwatch porn work harder than the people who make Overwatch.
Gosh.
That's so funny.
The few popular positive reviews also commended Overwatch 2 for its porn. Bad game, good porn, says one well-liked comment. Bueno porno, says another.
Say that in English now, please.
Good porn, says another for the bilingual crowd. Okay, yeah, high-def cartoon porn is cool. Whatever. What's wrong with the actual game, says the writer of this article on Kotaku.com. Nothing immediate is wrong with the game. Devoted players just really miss what they feel Overwatch used to be. Mm. A good shooter that didn't constantly beg for your money with a battle pass. It sort of continues, but that was the porn bit.
I've heard Boingo Poingo.
Yes.
I've heard an alternative take on why there are why there are so many bad reviews.
Yeah.
It's because, you remember when we were talking about how Blizzard and China, a company within China, fell out? And it was because there was a miscommunication or a mistranslation of something, and now you can't play Blizzard games in China. Well, this is the first opportunity, apparently, that Chinese players of Overwatch have had to vocalize their frustration at the situation.
Right.
So it's essentially been review bombed, in addition to people just being generally annoyed by the state of Overwatch 2. Bueno porno.
But is it to play, I mean... devil's advocate,
yeah,
very much the devil we're dealing with,
sure,
here. But is it Activision's fault, Activision Blizzard's fault, that, I mean, I know they had the falling out, but it's not their fault that China then said
it's not their fault
Chinese
but,
people
but
can't
this
play.
Is the first avenue that Chinese players have been able to say, I'm really cross, pay attention to us, Blizzard, and that's why they've influxed with.
I don't know if they can be completely angry at their government and be fine with it. So I guess Blizzard.
Hey, there's a lot of anger going around.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can't review bomb the Chinese government.
No, exactly.
Bueno porno.
Bueno porno.
Ashton.
I have some news submitted by David Lever. Comes from Games Radar by Dustin Bailey. Hamilton has an official Roblox game, and I'm just about ready to throw away my shot. It's a reference to the musical.
Right. Say, don't waste a shot.
Yes, you collect characters like James Madison and sing at Redcoats until they explode into coins. Hamilton Simulator is a Roblox game officially licensed from the hit musical, which sees you collecting the Founding Fathers with the best DPS ratings in order to have them sing at Redcoats until they explode into coins. Yes, I'm just as confused as you are. As with any Roblox game, you can go out and try it for yourself for free, but unless you're a Roblox diehard, I'm going to bet the 29-second trailer below is all you'll need to see.
Yeah.
Did you say this is official?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was licensed by Amazing. The musical with company that's all round good and doesn't exploit children, Roblox.
Roblox? Roblox doesn't exploit children.
No, what are you talking about?
No.
Did you say Roblox exploits children?
No,
not Roblox.
Not Roblox.
Roblox doesn't exploit children.
They don't get children else. To make their games. And
I've never seen a child exploited by Roblox before. The child exploiting.
They try and keep it secret.
Game.
Yeah. Just seeing the idea of the musical boil down to a game that includes collecting a legendary Angelica Schuyler with a 1.20K DPS rating is a moment I may never recover from. Damn it, what does what mean?
The 1.2K
a damage per second rating.
Is that the letter O or a zero?
Oh.
Is it 1.20,000?
120?
1.2K is 1,200.
But what does that mean?
But there's an extra zero there. So is that 120,000?
I'm going to need to see a scale. Like, I don't know what 120,000 DPS means in Roblox compared to, say, a gun.
DPS or a gun.
Yeah, what is it?
Hamilton Simulator was created by Super League, a creative service agency that specializes in building Roblox games on metaverse platforms like Roblox, or building games on metaverse platforms like Roblox for brands and IPs like Hamilton. In short, it's a marketing exercise, but admittedly, one that's weird enough for me to be writing about it right now. So I suppose that demands some sort of congratulations. The quote from Hamilton creator Lin-Manuel Miranda, this partnership highlights the creativity and limitless fun made possible by artistic collaborations across mediums, which Hamilton creator says in the most press release quote I've ever heard in a press release. I can't wait to see how people will shape their adventures, forge new connections, experience Hamilton in an entirely new and interactive way.
God, was that written by an AI?
It does feel like it. Personally, I'm just trying to picture the 9-year-old who gets way into historically themed musical theatre as a result of playing a Roblox game. It's not like Hamilton struggles with selling tickets. Mm. You basically can't get Hamilton tickets unless they're like 2 years out. So I don't know why they've done this. It's so weird. Mm. It's so random. And of all the places that you could have decided to put your musical on, Roblox, admittedly, very popular with children, but I don't know if...
Why is it popular with children, Ashton?
Roblox?
Yeah, why is it popular with children?
I think it's all the exploiting.
There's exploiting children in Roblox?
I don't know if you guys know this, but big time. Big style exploiting.
It's popular with...
Put on Fortnite. At least some people who play Fortnite can actually afford to buy tickets. The kids on Roblox, they've just got loads and loads of Robux they can't spend.
They're being exploited. They haven't got any money.
Yeah.
They're going to their mum and dad saying...
They literally are being exploited.
Hey, I've just been exploited. Now can we go see Hamilton?
Yeah. I'm just... Mum, can I log on for a quick being exploited, please?
Yeah.
Okay, but only half an hour of being exploited, please.
No more after that.
My favourite part of the trailer for that is where it shows the different characters you can get. And they're like... These are all significant historical figures. And it's like common. Is under one of them. This guy's only
it's
rated
James
common.
James Madison, common.
It's great. He's not a rare one.
No,
you can get James Madisons anywhere. It's fine.
I just can't get over the fact that the Roblox character model is actually the Roblox character model. Yeah. It's been like that for years. That's how it's meant to be, and it looks like a placeholder, and it always has done. Why are they so thick? They look like that Kanye thing. Yeah. You know when he had that massive outfit on, whatever it was?
Just rectangles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So weird.
It is weird. Roblox, eh? Ooh. Good stuff.
My weird news.
Oof.
Oof. My weird. Didn't they change that? Did they still oofing?
They stole it, didn't they?
Did they?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that the oof sound came from a YouTube video from like 10 years ago that they stole. And the guy who said like, that's me making the oof. But it was like...
That's my oof.
That's my oof.
Can't do it.
I'm almost certain they stole it.
Oh, it's a great noise.
I'm going to Google that just to make sure.
Yeah, please
do. But I'm pretty sure that they did.
Did Roblox steal oof?
Yeah.
My weird news comes from Stephen Skodes at SSkodes8 on Twitter. And we've all seen this one, but we need to document it here. It's from Nintendo Life.
Random!
The Pokemon Center's official Wigglet plush looks a lot more NSFW than Weird Imagined.
Yeah.
Oh my. This is from Jim Norman.
I've not seen this. What is it?
Okay, so that's Wigglet.
Right, yeah. Can't wait to see the plush.
I think you can imagine what the plush looks like. We remember our elation... When Pokemon Scarlet and Violet's weird little worm guy, Wigglet, was first revealed in a trailer all of his own, this water type was cute and harmless, and you would be forgiven for thinking that he might one day make for an adorable plush. But thinking about this prospect for more than 30 seconds, you'd surely see how that could be a bad idea, right? Mm. Apparently not. Yes, a plush of the Garden Eelmon is now available from the Pokemon Center, and the results are ... just as interesting as you might expect. You see, Wigglet is a creature without arms or legs, whose thin white body extends from a small mound of earth beneath it. If you haven't caught up on how some fans are seeing something else when looking at the official images for this new cuddly toy, then allow us to demonstrate. We wish we were joking, but that one on the left is a real photo from the official Pokemon Center website. It's 10.25 inches tall and 4.75 inches wide, and its bendable body lets you create custom poses.
It's rigid.
There it is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god.
It's a willy.
Yeah,
someone's gonna have sex with that.
Yeah.
There's loads of reactions from Twitter that have been embedded now. Pokemon Center
10.25 inches tall
really made a decision with their choice of pose for the Wigglet plush. It just looks like a sex toy. Mm-hmm. And that's available now if you would like to buy it.
If you can take 10.25 inches, that is. You might want to be careful.
I don't know if the Diglett plush is still available.
Yeah,
but,
Dugtrio, I'll take.
So the oof sound... Yeah. Was made by someone called Tommy Talirico, and he first discovered Roblox use of the effect originally made for the FPS Messiah released in 2000. Oh. He came to an agreement with Roblox where anyone building a Roblox, and then they've crossed out the word game and written experience, would have to pay $1 or 100 Robux to be able to use the sound in their creation. He also agreed to develop other sounds for Roblox. Something happened in the arrangement, either it expired or there has been a disagreement. We've contacted Roblox for any more information, but they've removed the sound entirely. So either they were like, no, so we're not gonna pay you.
No
or...
oofs. Hang on. Yeah.
Perfect.
It's a good noise. It's a good noise.
It does. Good.
Guys, it's time for the big discussion. Oh. Big discussion time. Time for the big video game discussion that this week comes courtesy of Blake Thomas. BAP! Those folks at Nintendo are being strange again. This time they are attempting to patent game mechanics found in Tears of the Kingdom. When trying to patent something as simple as showing a map on your loading screen, isn't patenting game mechanics inherently bad for the gaming world? Thank you, Blake.
Thank you, Blake.
Got a bit of a write-up here from Kotaku and Kenneth Shepherd. Nintendo is registering several new patents for The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom that are extremely broad to the point where they seem unreasonable for other developers to be beholden to. Automaton, a gaming website that focuses on Japanese games like Zelda, has a roundup of the 32 patents Nintendo put forth. Some of them are specific to Link's latest adventure, including things like Ryu's lightning ability, which lets the player target enemies with a bow and bring down a lightning strike wherever the arrow lands. The weirder ones are related to baseline game design and coding that applies to plenty of other video games on the market. One of the hopeful patents relates to the physics of a character riding on top of a moving vehicle and reacting dynamically to it in a realistic manner. The distinction, according to Automaton's translation of Japanese site Hatena blog users Nayao 2K's post on the matter, bloody hell, is down to how Tears of the Kingdom codes these interactions. Link and the object he rides on move together at the same speed, rather than Link being technically stationary on top of a moving object, as is common in the physics of other games. The two are functionally the same, but given that plenty of video games displayed characters who can walk around on top of moving vehicles, it's highly unlikely that this kind of approach hasn't been utilized before. On top of trying to patent the tech, Nintendo seeks to patent the loading screen that shows up when the player is fast traveling across Hyrule. This specifically refers to the screen that shows the map transition from the player's starting point to their destination. Sure, that's pretty specific and not something every game utilizes, but it's still such a general concept that it feels almost petty to patent it when it's hardly an iconic draw of Tears of the Kingdom. There we are.
They have to do that because the Switch takes so long to load it. So that's why they have to show that.
Right.
I don't know. I'm just
but now they're trying to patent
probably,
it.
Yeah.
I don't suppose you spoke to the community, did you?
I did. And the general consensus was either slagging off Nintendo or basically saying that some people said, well, Nintendo basically invented games. So,
so they could do whatever they want.
That's true, they invented games.
So a couple of people were basically just saying, well, maybe this will help avoid Tears of the Kingdom, like, you know, remakes or rip-offs in the future. And a couple other people were basically saying that it's wrong and it's going to hamper games in the future. A couple of comparisons to Warner Bros. Patenting the Nemesis system. So there was a couple of like comparisons, but in general, it's why are they doing this? That's stupid. Is kind of the vibe.
Peter, what do you think?
I agree that it's kind of stupid. I don't like mechanic patenting. I think obviously protect your sort of IP in general. Get all your trademarks for, you know, you don't want someone to perhaps make a video game about a surrogate father and his daughter moving through the post-apocalyptic wasteland, for instance.
No, you don't want to copy The Last Hope.
No, yeah.
Dead Zone Survive.
Yeah. Son of War. War of Zeus.
War of Zeus. Son of Child.
Yeah. I think actually patenting mechanics is problematic. I wouldn't mind so much if patents that were put in place were at least for stuff that is consistently being reused, perhaps even in other games owned by that company who owns the patent. So, for example, Nintendo might put map loading screens in other games, and at least then you're getting something out of it, and those mechanics are being enjoyed by gamers in multiple games across various years. But an issue, I've got an example here. Remember the Eternal Darkness sanity meter? That was patented by Nintendo. There's a description here from Google Patents of exactly what they patented. A video game and gaming system incorporating a game's character sanity level that's affected by occurrences in the game, such as encountering a game creature or gruesome situation. As the character's sanity level decreases, gameplay is affected, such as by controlling game effects, audio effects, creating hallucinations, and the like.
Game effects.
Yeah. In this context, the same game can be played differently each time it is played. That has only just expired, I believe, like a year or so ago. I don't quite know how games like Amnesia got around that. I guess it's like having a sanity meter rather than just getting scared in-game.
Calling it something slightly different.
Yeah.
Like a mental meter or like...
Yeah, maybe so. Like there are probably some ways around
sanity
it.
Sanity meter.
And similarly, Bandai Namco they patented loading screen minigames until 2005. Yeah. Is it 5 or 15? It was in that article, I think, that you just read.
Yeah, it was quite a while they had it.
Yeah.
I used to love those. Those were great.
But that's the thing. So that's the difference, is that Bandai Namco continued to do those for quite a long time. I remember that I think all of the Tekken games might have had
them. A lot of the Ridge Racer games had them as well.
So at least, you know, every time they brought a game out, or a lot of the time, you'll be able to enjoy your loading screen minigame. And it's like, okay, they patented this, but they're using it, and I get to enjoy it every time they release a game. But the sanity meter of Eternal Darkness, I don't think ever was used again by Nintendo for a game. And meanwhile, there are games like, you know, the Arkham series might have enjoyed having an actual meter for sanity or something like that, or maybe not the Arkham series, but other horror games. It's a shame when things get patented and then not used. You could even possibly say the same about Shadow of Mordor's Nemesis system. You know, there were those two games, and then what? Warner Brothers haven't used that since. And it's such a good system. I think a lot of people enjoyed it. It was one of the people's favorite things about that game or those games. So
it would have been great for something like Gotham Knights.
Yeah.
Which is also from Warner Brothers. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So
but never mind.
That's where my main concern comes from. I think generally it's just it would be better if people didn't patent mechanics at all because the more kind of, the more mechanics that are available to the whole gaming sphere, the more we can all enjoy them and have interesting combinations and things like that. But at least if these things are going to be patented, I sure hope that Nintendo uses the flip out of them in all sorts of games and not just in Zelda.
I also don't think that these things are specifically new in Tears of the Kingdom. Like, I know that some of it is literally the coding itself, but some of them are so vague and like general that when I look, I was like, well, I don't feel like you invented that. That doesn't seem like a new thing. Like, you know, being able to stick things together. People have been doing that in Garry's Mod for like 20 years. So that's not new.
Can't be the first time that an arrow has done a lightning strike.
No, yeah, exactly.
I don't think.
Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe it's like, oh, well, you know, it might be a lightning arrow, but it's not brought lightning down from the sky.
Well, even then,
but
even I bet there's then, a game like, somewhere.
Absolutely. And I do think that it's such a weird thing for them to do. And like you say, it's just going to hinder other people. Because as much as it's great that you're like, well, you can't rip us off, it also stops people from taking any inspiration from your game if there's massive elements that they can't put in their game. Loading screens, there's always going to either be something on a loading screen. Imagine if someone patented that you can't put tips on your loading screen, or you can't have images or like anything on your loading screen. That's just ridiculous. That's like, what are they supposed to do? Just have a black screen? You want a black screen, do you, Nintendo? That's what you want? You're going to take everything away from us? Huh?
Yeah.
What's
next? You're patenting loading.
Yeah. You can't.
No more main menus.
You can't use the word loading in your game. Mm. I do think it's absolutely ridiculous to patent some of this stuff. And like you say, protect your IPs, protect what you've got. Brilliant. But I just don't feel like in an industry like video games, you have the right to patent a mechanic. Consoles are different. You have the right to patent, you know, the way a console is made and, you know, that framework. But you do not, I think, have a right in such a creative sphere like gaming to patent mechanics.
You can't do it in movies.
That's
can
what
you?
I was going to say. It's like writing a movie about like a bear and being like, we've patented all movies about bears.
You can have bear
no
in
more
movie.
Bear movies.
Or slow motion shots.
Yeah,
or,
exactly.
Yeah.
Or like
lens flare.
Yeah, exactly. It's because it's a creative medium. Everyone's doing their own thing. And yeah, there's always that, what's the word that you say? Where it's
clap.
Like, no. You both think of something at the same time.
Oh, parallel invention.
Parallel invention.
Yeah.
That's going to happen all the time. Yeah. And if you're saying that something can't happen because you did it first, which I, again, don't think you did, then you're just stopping an entire section of people being able to do anything about that, which is so rubbish. And I don't know if these patents have been approved, and I'm hoping
no, they haven't.
Unfortunately not.
I'm hoping that most of them will be denied, but like I say, maybe, you know, Nintendo did actually invent gaming, so maybe it's their right to do that.
We should say, I suspect you don't actually have to have done something first to necessarily patent it. I don't know. Maybe
you patent
do.
It. I think you can, as long as you have a reasonable claim to it. Like you've at least done it, then you. Yeah.
Yeah.
None of us are law experts. We're not legal boys and girls here, so we don't know the true ins and outs. But yeah, as you said, Ashton, hopefully, the patent office, whoever's receiving this stuff, will know enough about the subject matter to dismiss the more obnoxious ones. And if not, that there could be some sort of public petition or appeal to get some of those patents taken away. Because if there's one thing we know about Nintendo, they are fiercely protective of their IP, and then presumably by
they
extension
love a copyright strike.
They're patents. So yeah, like they're a very litigious company, and this could be extremely dangerous. And it's obviously of concern to developers and publishers, because Nintendo are giants in the industry and they can throw their weight around more with regard to this sort of stuff. And they can and have and will go after people that they identify as, it's almost like the bot identification stuff we were talking about from earlier. Like they won't discriminate. They won't be able to distinguish. They won't pay attention to nuance. If you use it, they will come after you.
Didn't they copyright their own stuff?
Yeah, they've taken down videos on their own channels before, because they rely so heavily on that system. It's absurd, and this could be extremely damaging. It's not gone through yet. And hopefully it never will. We hear about, and we've spoken about patents before, like that are either completely weird or quite insidious. You know, Sony's done a few where people are like, hang on, you want to try and monetize gaming, how? And then we've never heard again about whether that was a successful patent, but almost certainly a lot of this stuff is patented and then never used, because it's an idea that they've generated internally. They want to hold on to it. That makes sense. But it isn't a game mechanic in the same way that these are game mechanics. Yeah. It it's not a good look. Again, as we talk about very often, we're the core of the core audience here. We're not the general gaming consumers. Most people who buy and play Nintendo games will never hear about this, never care about this. And so Nintendo might not actually give a flip that there's a bit of an uproar online about this.
Yeah.
So the only way that this can actually not go through is if the relevant patent office dismisses them because it knows what they're doing, or if people can intervene, companies can intervene.
I assume that like other developers could be like, could intervene at some, if it does start going like look like it's going to happen. I assume there is some right for other developers to be like,
well,
this is unreasonable. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I assume the other like players in the field will have more of a hold on the patent office than potentially the consumer would.
Regrettably, it may, even again not knowing much about the law, it may come down to the first person Nintendo goes after for this. If a precedent is set, if Nintendo wins, or if the defendant wins, then that could set the precedent. Either the patent's thrown out, or it's like, well, Nintendo took someone to court and won for using this loading screen stuff, so now legally nobody can touch it, and nobody will want to touch it for the headache, and the threat of legal action alone will probably put people off.
Patents can last for ages as well, and you can get extensions on them and stuff. It's not.
Hopefully, nothing will come of it. They may successfully patent it and then never go after anyone. Mm-hmm. It might just be due, you know, process for them to just do this, and then they never act on it. But we know what Nintendo are like.
We do know what Nintendo are like.
And there's a good chance
that
they might do some pretty bad stuff with it. So hopefully, nothing comes of it.
If you are a law boy or girl,
are you a law boy?
Please let us know in the comments what you think about the situation, because
from a law perspective,
we would love to know, because like Ben says, we're not law boys and girls. We don't know nothing about that. So it would be great to know if what we're talking is not out of our ass.
Maybe we should patent mechanics that we hate so that no one else can use
them. Yeah, good idea.
I mean, I'm going to patent having loads of map markers on your map.
Yeah, more than six.
Yeah,
I'm patenting cards.
We're coming for you.
Cards, yeah.
Card system, yeah. Love that.
Yeah.
Well, let us know what you think of everything we've talked about today in the comments below, and make sure you come and check us out live on YouTube on Saturday morning. That's the 11 a.m. on the 2nd of September for SMTJ Live.
Yep.
www.mp/SMTJ. Just a couple of things to talk about before we go. Peter Austin.
Yes, we are on YouTube and Twitch, as I'm sure you know, youtube.com and twitch.tv/Team Triple Jump. We stream mainly on Twitch, but occasionally, such as Gamescom Opening Night Live, on YouTube. And of course, YouTube is where we put all of our videos out. And if you've got Amazon Prime, you're already paying for a Twitch sub. Did you know that? So go on your Amazon and use that on us. Won't cost you anything extra, and you get all the normal benefits of being subscribed.
Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok /Team Triple Jump for all our content we put on our socials, and patreon.com/Team Triple Jump if you fancy supporting your faves on Patreon.
So many good rewards there, and more are coming. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a pretty unbeatable system soon. So, you know, well, we said we're going to be shuffling.
Yeah,
so make sure you get ahead of the curve, and also, you know, have your voice heard. Shape SMTJ Live now. Go to the website to find out more. TripleJU.mp is that website. You can find links to everything there, everything that we do. And why not leave a 5-star review on your platform of choice? It has something to do with Al Gore's rhythms, we think, but it definitely helps us out. And if you can't afford to give us dollary dues, maybe do that instead, because that's free and it will take you no time at all, and we'd really appreciate it. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Just enough time to hear the sponsor again, Ashton, which is
SMTJ Live, taking place on the 2nd of September at 11 a.m. Go to triplej.mp/SMTJ to find out how you can get involved. It's going to be bloody brilliant, all right?
All right. See you later, everybody.
Bye. Bye.
Hi,
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.